G'day everyone. Proud to say Bar Karate is brought to you by Radix Nutrition, makers of the most technically comprehensive nutrition products that have ever existed. Unlock your potential with Radix. G'day listeners, welcome to Bar Karate, the sailing podcast. My name's Jordan Spencer and it's that time of the week where we get to hang out with some really cool sailors. But of course, I have to share the mic with my two idiot mates. So first off, let's welcome Mr. Brett Perry.
Greetings, exalted one.
BP.
Yeah. Oh gee, it's cold in the UK.
I don't know why you're there, mate. I was selling boats, I guess, that's the point.
Well, this bit bloody delayed, would you believe it? So just waiting for the boat to arrive, but, you know, just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Oh, well. Well, let's find out where your good mate is.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Mr. Nick Boyce.
All right, mate, I'm coming to you live. Well, not really live, delayed by the time you listen. Mm. From the nook in the Rig Pro apartment, Palma Mallorca.
Oh.
Mate, you should sell boats down here, BP. It's beautiful place.
No, mate, don't worry. I left Portugal to come here. The good part is I brought the sun with me. It's not raining. It's just bloody cold.
Oh. In saying that, though, one of your little fellas would just be like a little fly around the yard here.
Nothing wrong with a little fly.
STP.
Nothing wrong with a little yap-yap.
I've ever seen anything like it. Just boats, cars, forklifts, travel lifts. Just going mad over here.
It's beautiful.
Plenty of action. Start of the season. Lots of boats going in. Getting ready. They've got the TP first event of the series coming up. Mm. And Palma Vela. So kind of a few boats rolling out of the shed with a bunch of mods done to them. And on the racetrack next week, see how the mods are looking.
It's the who's who. The who's who of sailing's there, Bicey.
Oh, pretty much. I mean, it's the royalty of sailing.
Royalty. Put it that way. Royalty. Yeah. The gods. The absolute blessed.
I love it.
So, yeah.
What are you doing there?
Just making up the numbers, improving the IQ.
Filling in the void.
Hey, for the listeners, as we record, it is an important day in Australia as we record. It's Anzac Day, important day in New Zealand. We don't do the full-on patriotism of some other countries when it comes to our armed forces. We basically don't really worry about it except for a couple of days a year, and Anzac Day is pretty important, and all the Aussies go out in the morning for dawn service, stand there and remember for all those who have fallen, and then we go and bet and drink. I think is the best way to describe it. But, yeah, it's a big day for Aussies and Kiwis out there and Anzac Day. All the best to all those who are serving or have served. But that's about as good as we get with patriotism in Oz. We don't go any further than that. But shall we go into bring our guests in?
Speaking of patriotism, these gentlemen towards sailing is second to none.
What do you mean that's as far as we go, Jay?
Well, we just don't overdo it, mate. We do it subtly, BP, is what I mean. We're subtle. We're Aussies, you know, down low. What we've been getting a lot of emails from a lot of people, and we love it. These two that we're going to have on the show are probably two of our most focused in terms of what they email. You know, they're thinking all the time. What they've done is spark a thought in our mind about having a discussion about trying to grow the sport. Why is our sports retracting? What could we do better? Let's just throw some ideas out there. And so what we're thinking of doing, and we'll see if we can pull it off, is we want to have a chat to a bunch of different groups. First group is the dudes at the coalface, the people at the coalface that are trying to grow the sport, trying to help the sport. Then we want to try and go up through the administration. So we're going to just try and do a series of these randomly over time and just keep the focus on driving the sport. If you want to input in any way, reach out to us or reach out to your yacht club or reach out to your National Sailing Authority or reach out to World Sailing. But if you want to do something or you've got ideas, do something about it is what I'd like to say. So our two guests today, they sent us a couple of emails, and I want to read the emails. They sent us a couple of thousand emails, is probably the honest truth, which we love. But they sent two important emails. And so the first one is from they're both good mates, all I'll say. The best one's from Adrian Finglas, who's the head coach at Q, Royal Queensland Yacht Squadron, former Australian coach. He's a bit of a legend. I have sailed against him many times over the years and super talented sailor. Recently, a few key junior youth sailing events held around the nation had low uptake. Now, I'm not sure if these are your words, Aze, or you just sent it on to me. This alarming...
They're my words, straight from the coalface, mate.
From memory...
You haven't introduced yet, mate.
These particular classes, it's their lowest number ever. This is the Opti States in Vic, New South Wales, 29 states. Why is this... Why the low entry numbers? Is the financial crisis, cost of living in the country, is that what it is? Is the yacht clubs losing interest in junior sailing? Do bigger yacht clubs still actively push junior sailing? How are the smaller clubs going? What's the solution to kickstart our sport? Does the marine industry need a think tank on how to engage more families and children in sailing? Then there's a whole list of different things which I'll skip past for the moment because we'll bring them up during the discussion. How do we excite the customer base again to take up this wonderful sport looking for ideas? Why in Victoria do we think Opti numbers at a state level have dropped so dramatically? There are key lessons for all of us to reignite our fleet and regions. Right, so that was that discussion. The next one is an email from Scott Patton. Scott is the Rear Commodore and, I guess, Head of Sailing Program at Rye Yacht Club, and we've been backing him in on a couple of his events, and he's very proactive and he's doing some good stuff. And so he, again, is right at the coalface. I can see him with shovel in hand as I speak. So he's actually trying to put together a book at the moment to promote the sport, a video which is going to be at the Ocean Film Festival. So he's not sitting on his hands. He's absolutely doing it. He said, I do feel that we need to have a round table. This is like, I mean, what is it about round tables and think tanks? But need to have a round table. There are definitely some shining lights within certain classes that are kicking goals and growing. This should be celebrated. And the question asked why, the answers are there. So Scott's saying there's people out there doing it. Why aren't we listening to them? We should definitely have a forum of some type with people willing to discuss issues without blame or getting political. Maybe we can come up with a white paper. I'll kick off some ideas on the top of my head. And then Scott also goes through some ideas. And again, we'll come through to this. But the gist of it, and I think the difference between Scott and AIDS's email was only one thing. AIDS was focused in on the youth. Scott was focused in on everyone. But the end result is to drive the sport. So welcome to the show, Adrian Finglas, former episode 33 and 149. And then Scott Patton, we've had a bit of a chat with you in the past on the show over a few things. But boys, welcome to Barcarati again.
Well, thanks, boys. Good to see everyone. And I'm just amazed at the hairdos. Like, you know... BP,
I was going to direct something straight at you, my friend. You look absolutely beautiful. Look at that, Bicey.
It's fantastic. It's great that I feel a bit for Scotty there. He's gone the number one or the zero, but it's good to see our old mates with a bit of hair.
I feel like he was setting you up there, Scotty.
Yeah, thanks, Geordie. Thanks for the intro. And thanks, Aze, for jumping straight in there with the hairdos. And this hairdo is a testament to the speed that I sail at, mate. So,
Scotty, we had a chat last week about it, and it's not that at all. It's actually that you're being sun smart. You're actually wearing hats. You wear out your hair.
Absolutely, BP. It's 100% what it is. Some would say it's testosterone and masculinity. Others call it baldness.
Baldness. Age.
Age has got nothing to do with it. But it's a trend. It's a new thing. You should try it.
You're both beautiful men, and you have beautiful sentiments behind what was sent through. And so we really wanted to talk about it. I think the sport needs the conversation, and if it doesn't come, one thing I believe, it's you've got to build the boat. Bottom of a pyramid, you want to feed the bottom and then the quality will rise out of the top. And so you guys are right at the coalface trying to grow sailing at the coalface. Like you know, Scotty, you're putting all these different events on. You're in our ear all the time, talking about things, trying to get promotion. Aids, you're there with all the youngsters just trying to grow. You've got a fleet of instructors and coaches, and you've got all these kids, and except for the times you're over in your power boat sitting next to me having a chat, you're working your ass off. But, you know, like it's impressive what you guys are doing. So I'll throw to you, Scotty, first. What do you think the most important thing is, or what is the reason we're losing people? Let's start why we're losing people. We'll start with Scotty.
Look, that's a big question, and there's a lot of answers to that question. And while there's no silver bullet to why participation's down, and we can all agree that participation's down, we can also agree that we have an aging fleet. I think it's many things. We have a sailing's not a convenient sport for a start. Let's face it. We've got a lot of competition from other sports. Obviously, at the moment, the climate is difficult as well. It's hard for parents to justify. I find a lot. I'm involved in surf lifesaving, basketball, sailing, as well, and. We're finding that parents are retracting a little bit and just concentrating and focusing in on one sport, maybe two. Usually I feel when we do go through a bit of a tougher climate, sailing's probably the first to get the pin pulled on it, only because of the convenience factor. You can rock up to a basketball court, you know, do your 20, 40 minutes and come home again after school. It's super convenient. That being said, I also think there's a perception around sailing, and I think we need to change the conversation around sailing. We've talked about this before, Geordie, about people saying it's a rich person's sport. I can guarantee that it's definitely not a rich person's sport. While certainly there are some wealthy people in our sport, there's wealthy people in all sports, but sailing is a very, very affordable sport. I had my kids in swimming, for instance, and AIDS and I have talked about this. And for them to swim and compete at a club, it was costing us around the $400 a month mark. Now, at our club, you can have, So at our club, you can have a family membership and sail for a whole year with access to showers and changing rooms and a bar and everything else that comes with being a member of your club for $400 a year, or around that $400 a year mark. So I think we definitely need to have more conversations, and we need to get more people involved in our sport talking about just how good our sport is. I don't think that we do a very good job of selling our sport and the benefits of our sport to kids and to their parents. Our sport is the best sport for a kid to do. Like, there's no better sport for the human development of your child than sailing. It's as simple as that. Sailing teaches resilience, strength, stamina, confidence, self-awareness, spatial awareness, problem solving, environmental awareness, and it also gives them a safe environment to take risks. There's not a lot of sports that can do that, and we need to do a better job of communicating to parents why their kids should be doing the sport, not what they can do within the sport. So at the coalface, we have parents walk into the club and, you know, they're not a sailing family. They want to know what's going on at the club. And I hear a lot of people talking about all the things you can do, and you can see straight away within the first, you know, 4.5 minutes of that conversation, a parent's overwhelmed by all the things you can do. So as an example, say your child wants to play soccer and you go to a soccer club, you know, what can we do? It's like, oh, there's a domestic team. You can do representative soccer, but, you know, pretty much soccer. You get to a yacht club and it's like, oh, so what's sailing about? It's, oh, well, you start off in tackers and then you do a development squad, and then you can sail this boat, you can sail that boat, you can get into wing dinghy, you can get into windsurfing, get into kiteboarding, you sail keel boats, you can do the Sydney to Hobart, you can go to Olymp. Like, straight away, they're just overwhelmed. So I think we need to do a better job of all of that will come, but I think as a whole, we could do a better job of just communicating to parents the benefits to their children of doing our sport, and the rest will flow on from that.
I like what you said there, Scott, what you can do within the sport, not with the sport. It's probably something that is forgotten about a bit. Not everyone has to be a world champion. You know, not everyone's going to be a gold medalist. Let's think about what the sport actually can give you, you know, in an all-round terms. That's a good, real good point.
And let's face it, you know, the amount of Olympians that we turn out of our sport is, you know, I think GT said it the other day, it's a fraction of 1%. It's such a tiny amount of people that actually go through to sail at Olympic level. And while we do have that pathway at this point, and it's, you know, the pathway works for some and it doesn't for others, but there's no reason we can't have an adventure sailing pathway that teaches all of those skills and people can learn to sail a whole different or many different ranges of types of boats and styles of boats and styles of sailing.
And it doesn't have to be
four different reasons. Exactly right. Whether they want to do adventure sailing, whether they want to do keelboat, whether they want to do racing at all. They may just want to do adventure sailing and sail up and down the coast. But getting people back into the sport and loving the sport for what it is, I think is super important.
What do you say, Nate?
Yeah, it's interesting. Scotty and I had a chat earlier today about some of the problems, but the big thing that I'm seeing at the coalface is the time. Modern day family with two or three children, both mum and dad working, they don't have the time to spend at the clubs like we all did when we were young people. You know, we'd hang out at the yacht club Saturday and Sunday, but these days I think with the pressures, financial pressures on families, et cetera, people are really time poor. And I think we're seeing that within our sport. Most yacht clubs are still delivering the sport how we delivered it in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. But the family life has moved on from that. And people don't have the time to hang out at the yacht club till start your 2 o'clock race and then, you know, spend all day there and do their big 2 hour long race and get off the water late afternoon, and then you've got to go home with your young children back to family life. One of the things we're seeing, we have a lot of children come to our training set up at the club that I work at, Royal Queensland, up in Brisbane. They'll come along for their 2 hours in the morning, but then they won't come racing in the afternoon because the time factor for the family is just too much. So I think clubs in that space, they've got to look at how they're delivering the sport and, you know, short, sharp delivery, shorter races. You know, we have children still doing at club level hour-long Opti races. And you go to it, you know, I went to the Nationals this year down in Adelaide, and some of the Nationals races were really quick out at club near where Bicey lives at Brighton Seacliff down there. And we're doing club events that are way longer than what you do at a Nationals events. So I think the people who run the sport at club level, they've got to be re-educated maybe and see what the customer base actually wants. So I think there's a disconnect between what the customer base wants and what yacht club hierarchy right across the nation are delivering. So, yeah, I think that's a big issue.
Can I just suggest a format through this discussion? Throughout the whole discussion, if you have an idea, like throw an idea out there if you have it right and say, oh, this is for club level or this is for the, you know, world sailing or this is for, you know, Australian sailing. Like the first thing that popped into my head, AIDS, is when I think of my youth, my folks were sailing themselves, you know, like they were, I was down the club and whatever I ended up bouncing onto or doing was fine by them, and my folks would be off sailing or I'd be sailing with them. Do we need to get the parents sailing? Is that something the clubs – so this idea is for the clubs. Do we need – the clubs, should they be targeting the parents and say, get on the water?
100%, I think. You know, without parents involved, it's really hard to keep the kids there and connected. We've started a little grassroots program. It only started possibly about – 2 months ago. We've got a fantastic volunteer, big shout out to a guy called Simon Tribe. He's got a little group of fever boats going. They're a little rotor molded plastic boat. You all might know them. Simon's got a fantastic group of young kids doing a bit of racing, a bit of adventure sailing, but they're having a whole lot of fun. And Simon single-handedly dragged the parents into sailing dinghies, and he's got a little fleet of RS200s going. And then we just had a member donate some really good quality tasers, and the parents were out in the tasers last weekend. But you got to get the parents somehow on the hook and get them involved. The drop and go type of situation that a lot of us see at clubs around the nation, it's really it's it's not effective to keep the family unit tight with your yacht club. So, yeah, we've got to get the parents on the water for sure. Volunteering on a start boat or whatever it may be. But, yeah, parents have to be engaged somehow.
And that engagement piece, Aids, it's still a bunch of time, isn't it? Regardless if it's volunteering or going sailing, but at least it's done together. I'm just trying to think in my head, how do you reduce the timing? Like,
yeah, well, I think by see, like Scotty and I talked earlier today, and I think just the actual time that we race, you know, when you look at the Olympics now with medal racing and the America's Cup style of racing or GP type catamaran sailing, it's all really short. You know, they've got races done and dusted in inside 20 minutes. But at club level, we're still racing hour-long races for children. I think any kids' race can't be more than 12 minutes long or 20, say, max, 20 minutes long, so that the kids, they don't get bored. They still see their mate on the race course, even if you're first or you're last. You're still having a little sail along with your mate. But when kids sail hour-long courses, they get so spread out and they get disconnected with their friends. And so, you know, I think short courses, up and back, then you see your little buddy and he might be coming last, you have a little giggle, but you're still on the same racetrack and the day's done and dusted in, 40 minutes.
Well, and that also adds in that fun element too. I mean, like you said, it's like we kind of all grew up in the same type of scenario and you go down, either parents are involved or you go down the club and you spend the Friday night down there, the whole Saturday, the Sunday morning, whatever it is. And then I'm thinking the whole way along, then all of a sudden you do a little sprint series, 20-minute races in a particular class or whatever it is. It's the most fun you've had in sailing altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think when you look at some of the, like school sailing, that a lot of the high schools do in Australia here, it's really popular. And the beauty of it, it's short and sharp and it's with your teammates. And so that's why school sailing has got such a foothold in the sailing community. Probably detracts a little bit from club life in some ways because the schools run parallel with clubs and they do their own activity. But it's such a successful sport because it's short, sharp, and the kids are doing it with their buddies. And, if a delivery more aligned to that could happen at yacht clubs, I think we'd have a better product. But the bigger issue is we're selling a product that doesn't meet the marketplace anymore.
I think what we've got here, and this is where probably, Scott, this one's probably for you to lead. One of the things I sit back and think of is just going round and round and round on weekends, you know, being one of the most passionate sailors during my youth, just doing club racing over and over again. As you said, the big long courses, just racing, it gets stale. And one of the ideas is doing something different. Does it have to be racing? Does it have to be, because, you know, generally the same people win the races, so the same people are towards the back of the fleet. We want to bring the fleet to the front. Like, we want to bring everyone up. But do we have to go racing? Could you not go for an adventure around the bay? You know, could it be a navigating challenge? Could there be something? And Scotty, you're doing that a little bit, mate. So I'm interested if you guys think that we could not only change the length of the course, time courses take, but whether we could do different things rather than just, you know, a triangle race.
Yeah, definitely, Jordy. Pretty much everything Aids said before, I completely agree with. For a start, our races are too long. Even in our adult fleet, you've got, so in our standard race, you're targeting a 45-minute race, excuse me, for the first finisher, but then you've got people that, you know, still 15 minutes behind them finishing. So you've got people sitting out in the race course getting cold, getting bored. And also it does stream that fleet out where they're not talking to each other. There's no banter. And we all know how important banter is. so there's no banter on the racetrack. So when you shorten those courses right up into like a little, you know, 12 to 20 minute race course, it makes that race course really, really intimate and really, really close. And you can also bring that closer into the yacht club as well and closer to shore. We at our club and at a few clubs I know of, definitely social sailing is becoming more and more popular. There's times where we have more of a fleet on the water just going for a leisurely sail down to Blairgowrie or Sorrento and back, or the other way to Rosebud and back. So I do feel an adventure sailing pathway where we're not racing as such. Whether you want to build racing into that for those that still want to race, that's something you could definitely look at. This is why we started the Capital Sound Invitational, or the Battle for the Bar, is because as we look at states and nationals, let's treat that as the benchmark, right? So that course racing, that distance course racing, it's the pinnacle of your sailing career at club level. Let's treat that as a benchmark. Why are we racing at club level exactly the same races? We should be doing something at club level that's different to what is a states or nationals, and change and mix things up. As you said, you know, you go round and round in circles and you're bored. I know I got bored. I went and did other things. I'm one of those kids at 18 years of age that got bored of what I was doing and nicked off and went snowboarding, kiteboarding, windsurfing and everything else that was out there to go and do, because I was just sick of going around in circles. To be successful at that, you've got to, you know, you can be a good sailor, and then to become a state or national champion, that last 1% takes up a lot more of your time than just getting that 99% effectiveness into your sailing. So a lot of people just can't be bothered. They'll go and do something different. So I think if we work back from that state and national championship format and then change club sailing, make club sailing a bit more fun, yeah, we can have some races. Yes, let's go do some adventure sailing. We've got a Kingsman plate where we've got a lighthouse that we sail out to. We do a bit of a time trial on that, and people try and better their times every time they do that. We've got the Capel Sound Invitational. We also do inter-club sailing as well. So we're developing partnerships with local yacht clubs where we visit them, they visit us, and we do some things on the water with them. But, yeah, definitely to your point, changing things up at club level, it doesn't always have to be racing. The other good thing, the other fun thing too, is like mini stern chases. So you set, you know, you might set kids or juniors off the beach, have a turnaround point, and then as the first boat hits the mark and turns around, everyone turns around at the same time, and then it's just a battle for the finish line. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot you can do, but I think at this point we probably need to develop some sort of toolbox that a yacht club can just open up and pull these options out, say, hey, this works and that works and that works and that's been proven and that's been proven, and give them the hand that some need, for sure.
What is a Sal GP race? How long does that take?
It's 15 minutes. It's got to be under 15.
15 minutes. And then a medal race at the Olympics?
Yeah, what's that take? It's 20, isn't it?
So I think there's a bit of our answer. You know, we've got professionals out there who are gearing the sport up for television and making it exciting, and we're still delivering a product that was designed in the 1940s. So, you know, I think we've got to have shorter races for kids. You know, 12 minutes. If they do sell GP, 15 minutes, we've got to make kids racing.
Even the adults.
14 minutes.
Even adults.
Well, even adults, yeah.
I going to say, this conversation, it's easy to put this into kind of the off-the-beach classes. That's what it feels like. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, even so at the CYC SA, on a Saturday, you'd be lucky to get 10 boats on the water because it's a 2-3 hour race. On a Wednesday night, 45-minute race,
just going to say
you got
that.
35 boats.
Yeah.
There you go. Water.
It's staring at us in the face.
And it has that social element attached to it, specifically around a twilight.
That's the same everywhere, Bicey.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon that's the same everywhere. You know, here we've got a Thursday night race, no spinnakers, have a couple of cans around the race course, have a laugh, have some food. Super popular. There's not enough boats for people. Come Saturday, people are missing out on getting home for dinner because they're stuck in the middle of the bay somewhere and they're not interested in doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I think you'll find that's the same across the board nationally. So, as I said, that the answers to improve the sport are definitely around the edges. There's no silver bullet, but the answers are there.
I think you touched on something else earlier, Scott. Maybe we could introduce like a course in banter
with the national and state titles for banter alone, just on its own.
You know, in Australian sailing course.
Sit in the room and you do some bar karate and have a banter session.
Definitely needed a round table for that one.
Oh.
no corners. Needed
a second coach boat out in the course.
Love it. Make
sure you're scoring hot. Hold up placards for your score. That was a good banter. You get 9 points for that.
Well, you know, it's the fun element, and that's what we're talking about here. But I think the big thing we're seeing here is exactly it's tapped in on both of your comments, and it's time. So if we make it more interesting and shorter, you're coming up with something that's a bit more sellable.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, I reckon Scotty said it, was we don't promote the sport well. Oh, I agree. I reckon we're shit at promoting our sport. Like, we need to... I'm just sitting here thinking, like, our next T-shirt just should be... It says something instead of bar karate. It just says sailing is awesome, you know? And then have people walking around in the streets just wearing a shirt that says sailing is awesome, and see how many people they can convince to come down the yacht club. You know, there's got to be something a lot more elaborate than that. But, you know, at every level...
Walking billboards.
Yeah, we got to, you know...
Well, Geordie, your own fin fleet at RQ is doing just that. They got a fins only T-shirt.
Only fins.
only fins shirt. Fantastic.
With a big someone with a paintbrush painted on the wall, locals only.
No.
That's really inclusive.
No, BP, you're missing the point. It's
I am not. I know. I'm only joking.
Johnny Croston, great work. It's very funny. So for those who for only fins, for those who don't know where that's going, you'll work it out eventually. It's very funny, but it's a great one. It is a great one. I guess that fleet, that fin fleet at RQ is massive. You know, there's like 40 something boats there. All these old blokes putting back into the sport. I shouldn't say old blokes, all these great blokes is probably the better term. You know, they're funding youth. They're doing, they're down there doing different things. They've got marquees set up there. So they're going for it, you know. And Scotty, you mentioned that there are a couple of fleets. Like, we had Nick Bears on. Talking to Nick, you know, there was, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, we might get banned, but, you know, with the setting up the WASP stuff, they wanted to stay outside of the auspices of World Sailing, so they could do whatever they want. And they do all sorts of different courses and different things, so do the windsurfers, you know. One thing in common there is Nick Bez, I guess, but I'm interested, you know, there's examples, like BP said it, it's staring us right in the face.
Yeah, it is, but I also want, you just touched on the WASPs, and I was at the Magenta foiling discussion, which was on a round table, it was a bunch of square tables, last Saturday night, and I mentioned this, and there were some pretty cool people there, and it was a big focus on the WASP and what the WASPs are doing. And their question was that we've got this issue, and Scott touched on it a second ago, where you get to 18 and you drop out. That's where they're seeing it. What they're seeing is the kids getting onto these boats, and now foiling is the normal, right? Let's admit that for a start. And there's an expense to that. There's no question. That's what they've already agreed. But it's the fun element that they're trying to keep alive, and the fun element of that, of the camaraderie, and they're trying to get the kids in younger onto these boats. They're aiming for 8, 9, and 10 year olds to get on these WASPs, and then hold on to them all the way through, and give them that sort of platform to keep, and the thing keeps growing, and there's all divisions, if you like, for, you know, the younger kids, and then there's the 18 to 25s, and et cetera, and that's what they're trying to achieve. That's where they see the problem. So it's not just us talking about it. You know what I mean? It is global. It's a global problem.
It is.
I think Brett touched on something there. Just the cost of equipment these days is, you know, it's really prohibitive to most families. One of the big things I'm pushing, like at a local club level, anyone who wants to listen, is I'm just suggesting all the kids learn how to wingding. So if you sail a laser, and that's all great, awesome, but the future in our sport is going to be foiling. There's no question about it. And if if you're a young kid between, you know, 8 and 18 at the moment and you don't learn how to wing ding, you're going to be left behind. So I just think it's going to be the way forward. You know, it's going to be where the most fun's going to be had in the future. They're having a lot of fun at the moment. And just get out there and try it. And even for us old blokes,
yeah,
get up, have a laugh. But I think, you know, foiling's where it's going and you got to be in it.
I crashed mine the other day, AIDS.
Yep.
Well, no, sorry. I walked into it whilst it's in the shed. And that's the only crashing I've done. But just thing, just going back a couple of steps.
Yeah.
One, we got to get the kids through the front door to start with, right?
Yep.
So I think there's two things. The perception, back to the original point, the perception, Scott, you mentioned, of the sport.
Yep.
But where and how can we change that? Is that something done through schools as opposed to walking around with a T-shirt saying sailing is awesome? Like, is it an educational thing? Like, from day one, educational. So the kids take something home to their parents, say, hey, look, I'd really like to give this a crack. Can we go down to the local yacht club? Is that, like, before we even get them through the door, is that somewhere we need to start?
Yeah. Yep. I'll circle back around to the 18 to say that, well, let's call it the 18 to 40-year-olds. So they disappear when they're 18, come back when they're 40 and they've got kids and they want their kids to learn to sail. Mm. And I've said this many times, you know, when if you're a cub, you see the scouts, they're doing cool stuff. You want to do what scouts are doing. When you're a scout, you know, you look at the adventurers or the rovers and they're doing cool stuff and all you want to do is be a rover. And when you're a rover, you see what the next thing's doing and they're doing cool stuff and you want to do that. And I think we need to look at getting away from the Olympic sailing pathway, we need to look at the pathway and the journey for our kids that are sailing. So they get tackers development squad, then out to the race course. We need to then, and I've said to one of our members at the club, his son sails at our club and he's going to nick off to uni soon and we're probably going to lose him as a sailing member. And I said to the parent, I don't mean to be nasty or mean, but when he leaves this club, it has to hurt. It really has to hurt this kid that when he's at uni, all he wants to do is be back at that club because we're doing cool stuff. So we need, there's definitely that period is the period that concerns me, that 18 to 40. I do think we're doing a pretty good job, whether it be tackers or whatever we're doing to get kids into the club, I think, and through schools. I know AIDS does a lot with schools. Our club does a lot with schools and local schools, and we're getting kids in there. But what I'm getting from a lot of parents is they've done tackers, they've learned to sail, we're moving on to something else now, which is where we need to keep that education process going. And somehow, look, we've got a big fight on our hands. We're not getting any airtime on any platform, whatever. There's a couple of sports, and you know what Melbourne's like, and, you know, we've got one sport that gets 400 to 800 hours a week on their sport, and it's hard for any other sport to break in. So somehow we need to do something to break into that news cycle and get sailing noticed. I don't know what that is yet, but give us some time and we'll get there. I think we need clubs definitely have a role to play. I know, as we discussed before, when parents come to the club, we probably need to look at the person that contacted the club should be a designated person that knows how to sell, like a parent liaison officer or someone like that, that rather than just speaking to random different people, getting different answers from different people, it's one person on a committee with a clear objective to get kids into the club and sell why sailing's so good for their child and why they should be doing it. Because sometimes you can get mixed messages when you walk into a club. I see it at our club. I see it at other clubs. I saw it at another club the other day. A parent walked in inquiring about sailing and they got five different answers and they were bamboozled. They didn't know which way to jump. Wow. So that's definitely one aspect. Associations are a really, really good way of developing the sport as well. Circling back to that, you were talking about the Finns, Geordie. You know, the Finns came out of the Olympics. All of a sudden, Finns were cheap, and the people that didn't qualify for Olympics anymore bought a bunch of Finns cheap and just did whatever they wanted to do and made the sport fun again. They made the class fun. I hazard a guess that they've got some youth coming through that class as well, some of the bigger kids that don't qualify for other boats because of their size. And they'll go into the fins and they'll have a blast in the fins. It's a normal size kids with extraordinarily large heads.
Large heads.
Yeah. And also I think we're going through a period of a 50-year cycle. So when sailing was it the bit and it was everything, it was, you know, the Hobies and the LTs. But all those people now have gone and chased performance and now they just want to go sailing for fun again. And you found that they've come back to those classes. So those guys and girls that were sailing Hobies back in the, you know, 70s and 80s and sailing the LTs or the Wallys back then in the 70s and 80s want to keep sailing and they want to do something fun. So they've come back to these associations and made it fun. And well, they're dragging the Wally, their kids into the those Wally associations. The Wally class is
a perfect
well.
Example of that, Scott. You know, it's a perfect example.
It is. And, you know, Nick got his hooks into me and now I'm a member of that class as well. And somebody else on this podcast has just picked up a nice new one. So they hope to see them riffing around soon. So it is. It's fun.
I'm looking.
And they're really good.
Wasn't Bicey. Wasn't Jordan. Who's got
well, wasn't it? Oh, mate, get with the times, BP.
Oh, Jesus, what am
I? Put it this way. He's got a big head and red hair.
Oh, but how many things has he got that he tells everyone he's got and he doesn't use?
Hey, just to get the conversation back on track, and we're not talking about big heads and things that Jordan doesn't use. But I reckon most yacht clubs in the nation, and this is something for any yacht club out there listening today, they don't get young people on their committees. So when you go and look at a yacht club committee structure, everyone is 55 plus on a committee making decisions. And, you know, we've just had a bit of a chat at our club. We had some amazing young people come and talk to one of our committees and, you know, the young people today, they're so educated, they're so well-spoken, they've got a lot of great ideas, but they never get a platform. So I think if any club out there wants to make a change, it's get some young people on your key committees. And I think there is a yacht club, well, there's a few yacht clubs in the nation who are doing it well. You look at Sorrento Sailing Cooter Boat Club down in Victoria, they've got this Gen X committee. Now, if you look, open up their website, they've got their general committee and the next most important committee on their website is their Gen X committee. And there's all these younger people, probably under 30, and they're all making the key decisions in the yacht club. I think their sailing captain, I think they call it these days, Harry's probably 30-odd, but we've got to invest in the young people in clubs. We've got to give the young people the power. I think it's a really big thing that, but I think going back to that product really quickly, it probably is nearly 30 years ago or 25 years ago, the federal government put out a thing called the Gemba Report. I'm not sure if any of you guys have read it. And it was a report specifically on our sport. A guy called Gemba wrote it. And that report had a lot of great things in there about what yacht clubs are doing wrong and what they're doing right. And there's so many things in there that, from 25 years ago that your clubs haven't taken on board. And, you know, it's the welcome sign, the big fences, the non-welcome sort of environments that your club presents. And I think, you know, we as custodians of these institutions, we could do so much of a better job of making people welcome at these places. You go to any yacht club around the world and the first thing you see is members only, you know. Don't come in. Don't want you. But anyway, I think that's another area we can look at is how we present to the outside world. I've had the Gemba report. I never read of it.
It's a good one. Boys, it's a good chat so far. It's a big chat. In the end, we've decided we're going to have to split it in two because the conversation went for a long time.
Two, yeah. About eight.
Four.
After you two dropped off, it went for another good hour. I tell you, like it was insane. The boys are passionate. Interesting. I mentioned there. I think in passing I mentioned this idea about like building, you know, buying a flat pack kit boat. And I went hunting on the internet to see if there existed since, you know, we did that record because obviously there's a little bit of a gap. Found the Hadron H1, which is a cool looking grown up boat, like a decent sized human beings. And I think BP's been quite busy because the BK1, the whole fruition and talking about BK1, it's maybe gone a little bit further. So we'll come back to that at some stage. But before we'll leave
a bit further. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's gone more than further.
Yeah, it's gone a long way. I know.
Bicey, I need masts.
We need masts.
Don't know. Oh, hang on. I might be able to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it this way, the calls have gone out to industry, and let's see what we can come up with. So we're not sitting
what
on
what did
it.
You say? The Hadron?
Oh, the Hadron, H-A-D-R-O-N-1. So there's a H2 and a H1, and the H1's a kit, like it comes in a flat pack kit and make it out of ply, and then the H2's like it's, you know, you buy it from the supplier. But, yeah, I looked up the kit prices and stuff. It's a pretty boat. Adult, you know, it's got a 10-metre sail on it, so decent-sized human being. But, yeah, ooh. I was just having a look to see, you know, if it's a mirror or what was left out there, and that was the one I found. So I'll give them a free plug. BP.
Yeah.
You're still in bed, bud.
Yeah, well, it's early. What do you expect?
Well, I'm expecting you'll be chowing down on the latest offerings from our friends at Radix Nutrition with their breakfast meals. I'm assuming that's...
I'm about to smash into some chocolate V9, to be honest. I've got to say, and this is the honest truth, I've been in Portugal for a couple of months and I've been working. I ran out of Radix. Ran out.
Yeah.
And I've been back on it this week on the Radix and I have noticed a difference.
Okay, you don't sound good.
Well, I'm just woken up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we had to ring BP to wake him up. It's really early for him, so yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, Bicey, I don't have a boat call. So for me, it was just like a standard Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Church and all that sort of
all
stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Have the peppermint, have the wine, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
If you're chasing performance, chase it through health. Radix Nutrition, go to their website, use the code BARKARATE, get a discount on us, and have a great one. Yeah. Other events, boys. Club events coming up. There's a bit on. Boys, in Brisbane, sunny old Brisbane where I live, they've just bought back the Brisbane Race Week, which is Keelboat Regatta. It's going to start May 3, so basically on the coming weekend through to May 8th, a whole bunch of stuff going on. So that's a new regatta on the charts, basically targeted keelboats. So it's out of RQ, Royal Queensland Yacht Squadron, 5 days of racing across the Labor Day weekend in May. So... first gun will fire on Friday, 3rd of May, and final day racing on Wednesday, the 8th of May, with a variety of formats. Good luck. That'd be cool. It's still T-shirt weather up here, so it's perfect. Home of where the Olympic sailing's going to be, so, you know, good chance to come up. Speaking of major regattas, SailGP next weekend, Bermuda. So we're back on. All the trashed boats are hopefully put back together.
All fixed.
Fixed.
All fixed and ready to go.
How angry do you think a few of the sailors will be? Do you reckon it's going to be calm or it'll be full bore?
Oh, no, nah, fisticuffs. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a punch up.
There'll be a few who's going the right way calls.
We're going to hear, like when they do the skipper's briefing, we're going to hear some commentary. And, you know, I'm interested what's going to be said. But there'll stuff be said for sure. But I wonder if I should bring it in here. I've got a hypothesis, boys.
Oh, do tell.
Throw a theory out there, right? Say you're the Aussie team, right? Say you're skipper of the Aussie team, you've just had a kid. You've dominated this series. You've got a massive contract for the America's Cup that's long-term. What's the chances it could be maybe he might wind up out of SailGP And SailGP are purposely trying to make sure the Aussie team don't win, so they've got someone else that they can focus on next time. What do you reckon? Is that too much of a conspiracy theory? There's no basis of fact behind it. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
No.
It's not too far.
It's pretty clear. I mean, ideally, Slingers. The mystery Aussie guy. It's kind of getting a bit boring, just winning all the time. So,
it wouldn't make it.
At the end of the day, it still comes down to the $1 million prize. So gone are the days of the glory of just winning the odd heat here and there. It all comes down to the winning prize. It's like the America's Cup in the sense that the Louis Vuitton, all that sort of stuff's just the noise. Big gear is the cup itself. So is he leaving? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Well, here's the thing that I'm pretty certain I know, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it or not, but I'm going to probably say it. Slingers doesn't have any equity.
Let it out.
He doesn't own any element of the team. So if the team's purchased, you know how like Jimmy got some money and other entity in the team, and you know, and Ben got some money. Tom doesn't. So, and I don't think any of the Australian sailors have got any equity in the team at all. So, if the team gets sold, they're not going to get paid out in any way. So, you know, what's the cost of them moving on if they've got a lot more money offered elsewhere? It's just, throwing hypotheses out there.
It's not only that. What's right for their own career. You know, there's more to it.
Exactly.
There's more to it.
Yes. You know, got to do what's right for you.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's the scenario.
I thought you were about to announce we're about to buy a SailGP team.
Bar-karate.
The Bar-karate team. In Australia.
Jordan on the helm.
I'm not saying.
Twice a year can be flight controller. I'll just grind because I'm massive.
You just get on. You.
Well, I had a meeting with a buying group this week. A group that was trying to buy a team this week. So, Bar-karate could be on, and we could have a 0.01% equity in that team.
Yeah. One of those Sailor's Lager stickers.
Yeah.
that's the area we own.
sort of stuck on the dashboard on a funny angle with a crease in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we'll get the broken bits. They'll take all the broken boats and assemble it, and that'll be the team we get.
A couple of Band-Aids.
Anyway, I'll move it on because I've said too much. Speed Windsurfing World Champs. ISWC Speed Windsurfing World Champs go this week, boys. All about Speed Windsurfing, but that's cool. So that's in Plage du Roi.
We used to have a speed board. Did you have a speed board, Jay?
No. I was fast enough without it. World champs in Marseille.
Well, so, with all that riding moment, you were, yeah.
So if you're into speed sailboarding, it's on in Marseille. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm interested in that. Well, moving on, I know there's a little bit of banter wanting to fire at me here, but I might sort of just skip past it. We've got some good banter. We've got lots of friends sort of coming through with different information. Our old mate Johnny Schaefer has just we publicised the St. Croix Yacht Club event that's on at the moment, and they've got a competition where you can win your weight in rum, boys. Your weight in rum. Cruising rum sailing rescue swimmers. What a great. Anyway, out at St. Croix, lots of dolphins. Looks beautiful. That's a good one.
Definitely one for the normal size human beings, that one.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the normal sailor.
I just love it. Like, you can imagine just sitting on the scales and just going, hello.
That's the lightest I've weighed for years. Yeah. What's
bit
going
opposite,
on with these
opposite to the old, bit opposite to the Etchells weigh-in. Well, what are you doing today? Oh, I've got a weigh-in. What are you going to do? Well, I've got to win my weight in rum. What are you doing? Well, I'm having 17 hamburgers, 14 Kentucky Fried Chickens.
It's not the healthiest message, especially when we talk about the Radics. Like, Yeah, we got to be helpful.
No, it's not, but it's funny.
What bit? Getting heavy or the diet? Winning your weight and rum?
Yeah, yeah, that bit.
Let's get this perfectly straight. We didn't invent it. We're just rolling along with it.
Yeah, we're just trying to make people smile. Whatever it makes you happy is all I'm saying. big thanks. One thing we do get, boys, which is quite fun, is we get a lot of sort of videos and stuff coming over the book and our Insta page. Dave Harris, of course.
Face.
Hey?
On the book face.
On the book face, yep. Dave Harris. The most common thing we get is Land Rover things, or things going wrong on Land Rovers. I don't know if you're picking up on that, boss. You're jumping onto those?
No, I'm not connected, so wouldn't see any of that.
But we got a good one. We got a good one this week.
I saw it.
From Joey, young Joey. I assume it's young bloke. He sent us some footage from the annual Ginger Run, boys.
Yeah, very funny.
Which is classic. And now I've got to say for the listeners out there, when you get a response back from us on the Insta, it says it's Brett, because Brett set up the Insta, so it says it's BP. And
it's a photo of a guitar.
Yeah, and it's a photo of a guitar. That's it.
Completely relevant.
Young Joey, I said he sent this through, and I normally reply. So we'll say it's Brett, but it's normally me. And I wrote back, "Are you in there?" And no, but I thought I saw Jordan in there for a minute. Might have to add it to the events of the Ginger Challenge. And I wrote back, "Look for the giant head." And then he's written back, "Oh, that's him in the lead." So I think that there was just funny that
Bit of banter.
Bit of banter, but he thought he was talking to you, BP. But
it crosses boundaries.
It does.
He thought it was me.
I was waiting for him to put the boot into me, but he played a straight back. He was a true gentleman, so yeah, liked that one. The other one is we got an email from Ian Turnbull, which I quite like. Just looking at the TP52 Nationals. Are the boats racing under a handicap system or is it level rating? There's a spread of age in the boats from Quest 2004 in second up to Hooligan 23 in third.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want one of you want to answer it, or do you want me to throw my head on the line?
Well, Bice is the guy. He's
That's
the guru.
Right. That's why I was subtly letting him answer.
Well, thanks for the lead in, Jordan. So
over to you, Bicey.
So, Bull, just to be clear, so a couple of rating rules apply for the TPs, and I assume Ian's talking about the New South Wales IRC states. Which is going on at Port Stephens?
He was looking back at the Nationals that you sailed in.
Oh, at the Nationals. Okay. Yeah. So IRC is the predominant rule in the TP.
It's all rating.
Plus, that. So hence it is rating. Plus, there's another rule, TPR, which is based on a number of factors. One is, of course, IRC, where the boat rates normally. And then the other one is how many professionals on board, how many females on board, how many youth on board. So it's a bit of a algorithm that goes into that. Generally, you find whoever wins it on IRC wins on TPR, which is cool. But, yeah, there you are, IRC. Unlike the Super Series, for example, or as I call it, the Superannuation Series, because I walked down the dock the other day and it's pretty much the same guys that were there 20 years ago. So.
I love it.
Of which we'll talk a bit more about, which is essentially over the line.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Cool. The other thing he said was I did my first RORC race in years last weekend. Half the fleet were double-handed and second to fifth overall were all double-handed. We came fifth, 8 seconds behind fourth after 20 hours of racing. That's pretty impressive and massively gutting at the same time. So that's cool. That's cool. I think GT put the boot into the double-handers, saying not bringing people into the sailing, but I don't know. I think it's going good. Anyway, that was...
I think he put the boot in for himself, and it makes sense. You know, like he likes the big boat stuff, and I don't... Yeah, look, I'm still a stalwart. I love it.
Cool. Olé, olé, olé,
olé. Feel it hot. It's hot time with Bice.
Just thought of Harry's voice. They had the match racing, didn't they, Bice, this weekend? It's on underway
that is
right now.
Correct, my friends. The Fred Neil match racing out of the CYC.
Freddie Neil. Now, there's a great man.
Yeah. They brought that back. Absolutely. Yeah. So, which is probably concluding at time of recording. So that's good. But hey, BP, a question for you.
Yes.
The Merlin Rocket.
Oh,
tell me more. We've been bombarded.
I sent you some photos yesterday again. I've actually touchy filled one. Brand new, never touched the water yet.
You touched a virgin.
Well, you could say that, yes. Yeah, and anyway, so I'm going to try and be a part of the official christening next week. Why stuff around? Why stuff around?
Go to the top. Tell me why.
Just go straight out on a brand new boat, never launched.
Mm. Oh, you're going for a sail in that one?
Yeah.
How stupid is the owner of that boat?
Yeah, well, I've got to find a wetsuit yet. Yeah, bloody cold here.
What was that system you set up? Looked like a track on a track. What was that for?
It's a great idea. It's a track on a track. You got it. And I thought you'd get into this.
What does it do? What's it for?
Well, it slides fore and aft.
What's it controlling? I get that bit. I'll work that. But what's it controlling? Is that just the jib?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. They're simple.
It's up, down, in, out, and forward and aft. It's fantastic.
they love talking.
Is that next on the X2?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Well, I love it. I'll tell you what. There was another one he was pretty proud of, and the rake.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. It's just two little controls like you have on the your 5.0, and you can just control the whole lot. He reckons that he can move the top of the mast about a meter.
Yep. Does his bridle automatically adjust at the same time?
Yeah, he's got a U-frame thing for the main sheet.
Yeah, that's right. They do that big frame in the centre.
That he can push down and pull up.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I'm just saying is if it was a proper system, you'd drop rake in, your bridle, your sheeting system would come in at the same time.
He's working on that. He's working on that. But, you know. You got to give him a chance. I mean, you know, he hasn't hit the water yet.
I love it. So it was cool, mate. It was cool.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, the first thing I did was I opened the bottom of the hull. It was in a inner cover.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and there is it's got chines.
There are
chines.
Funky little things, aren't they? They look amazing.
Yeah.
A spoon with chines.
With chines. It is a spoon with chines.
There you go.
And the rule is apparently based around...
my grandma used to have those little teaspoons that your grandma used to have.
And the rule is based apparently on it fitting into a normal size garage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you know how rules go. You know, when you're building a boat and or a class or whatever you're involved in, you go to the absolute millimeter
of
that rule.
Yeah, right.
Well, these boats fit absolute millimeter of garages.
Is that UK garage or American garage?
This is the problem. Things have changed.
What if you're really rich and your garage is like 100 foot long?
Yeah, but things have changed, you see. Oh, it's width. It's width.
Width? Yeah. Okay. So
it's been said more than once, but it's certainly about girth. But moving on, gents. Moving on.
Yes, Nicholas.
Time of recording. Yeah. Transat kicking off this today.
Yep.
Yes, the CIC.
We're about to see people launching across the Atlantic. I'm here in Palmer. We've got a good mate, possibly one of the most listened to on Barkrati, as in sci-fi, doing a bit of routing for some of the team. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that. This week, see how that's all looking.
We've got a couple of Barkaradians making the journey.
Here. So good luck to one and all taking part in that. And then the other one, guys, and this is...
I can, just before you go, boys, I can say that the start of the actual Transat CIC is in 5 hours, 3 minutes, and 7 seconds, as I spoke just then.
Counting down.
So, and it's live streamed on... YouTube, and if you hear this after that, of course they'll be able to repeat it. It's the qualifier for the Vendée Globe, 3,500 miles from Lorient to New York, so across, and then next month they'll be coming back. So yeah, that was it. Sorry, bud. Sorry to speak past.
All good. But the other one, like kind of talking about Ocean Globe Race. We haven't spoken about this for quite some time.
No, you're right.
definitely worth noting.
I think so.
They have arrived back in town and with winners and grinners, including the maiden, of course.
Yes.
Which has taken the race out overall. And I think they used IRC in the end.
They did, yep.
Yep. So,
correct.
Well done to maiden. Like, quite a battle, I think. In the end, 14 boats took part. So, which is something we've been following for quite some time. All the cassette tapes would have been, you know, quite well used.
Well,
wound up with the lead pencil.
Okay.
The lead pencil to wind it back up.
I have to ask a question.
Tape decks chewed up the favourite song, and you've got to pull it out and try and get it, you know, make sure you don't damage the tape.
There's something I have to ask. So we can't use new technology, right? So what about your wetsuit gear? Your wet weather gear, is that allowed to be modern? All the safety
equipment? No, Line 7.
What about your footwear? You know, we know boots have been around for a long time, but what if you were wearing Crocs? Is that...
No, you can't. What, you can't.
What about a bright green pair of Crocs?
It's fair to say the Croc isn't a real advancement in footwear.
Oh, I don't know. I think it is.
If you go... I was just going to say, if you go to the photo of the maiden team who won, and congratulations, first all-female team to win a major global race around the world race.
Fantastic effort, isn't it?
Yeah. Front and centre of one of the crew, bright. Everyone else is in sea boots. She's in her lime green Crocs. I think they may be disqualified. Modern technology.
Yeah, I'd be putting in a protest.
Straight to the protest room with that one.
Yep. What rule do you reckon it is?
Rule 69, right, for redress. No.
All right, gents.
That's what it used to be. Rule 69 used to be right for redress. But anyway.
Let's move it back down to, to share this with some of our listeners, of course, from the Southern Hemisphere, but the Port Stephens Regatta this weekend, New South Wales IRC.
How's the have you seen the photos coming out of that lot?
Let's start with Division 2, shall we?
Because go on then. Start with Division 2.
An old mate of yours here, BP. Team Hollywood takes it out.
Oh, Racing Ray Roberts.
Racing Ray Roberts, 15 points. Ahead of Let's Get It On, ahead of Knocklex. So well done to those guys. And then moving up the list, we got the Hooligan. Salda, this is your kind of regatta here, Jordan Spencer. Let's have a look. 1-1-1-8.
Wow.
So they dropped the eighth then, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, probably didn't even have to. And then second Matador, third Secret Men's Business. Wow. So
Hooligan's found something in the last few weeks.
Yeah, yep. A little rocket, maybe.
I tell you what they found.
And they have come out and absolutely blitzed them.
Team on Matador, you've got to take your hats off to the team on Matador, don't you?
Doing well. Super well.
Very well.
The background of that guy, he's come from sprint cars. You know that?
Oh, okay. Oh, don't go around corners with him. Jeez.
He's just in a permanent slide.
Yeah, that's right.
Lucky it's pulled down courses. Imagine we went the other way.
I know.
It'd be all
that's
chicken
what I reckon.
Up.
Just that's why I reckon he's going so well.
then, of course, gents, speaking of TPs, got the Super Series kicking off today in Palmer.
Some stories for us?
There's some... Well, the only real story I've got is I saw the Prevetta broken bowsprit on... practice day. These teams have a lot of spares and a lot of all those sorts of things, so that wasn't an issue, just whack a new one on. But they kick off officially today, then followed up by Palma Vela race week, which starts on Thursday, which is, you know, going to be some beautiful sailing in the Bay of Palma. Apart from the next few days, man, rain, no wind. The training, she'll be no good. But that'll be kicking off. We'll talk more about that next week. Sticking in the Mediterranean, hey, yeah, Jordan Spencer. This is kind of in your wheelhouse.
Is that Parma?
You know what I like about you, BP?
What?
Nothing. I think nothing. a bit of light wind finished off that. They didn't finish. They didn't get to do some medal races, but yeah, she's run and done. Nothing I really want to jump onto.
I'm going to jump on something.
Yep, go for it.
What about our young Gray Morris?
Oh, yeah, got the silver. Yeah, good on him.
Silver was leading all week, and then and this is an interesting, you know, sort of discussion about the final race. You know, he was leading all week, and then he gets out there, he gets second in the final race, gets second overall. That's because that's how it rolls now. But what an effort, hey? Effort.
It's great.
Yeah, well done, Gray.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Looking fine. It's good to see big fellas getting a win. So there you go. Doing well.
Doing it for the normal size, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Doing it for the normals.
I love it. But yeah, it's all. I mean, it was the last regatta. The next time we see everyone together will be the Olympics. So everyone's going off into Olympic training now, and there'll be some controversy, and there'll be some what could have been. But we're going into France on the Med for the.
Love controversy.
What are we, Marseille?
Maybe the Mistral will stop blowing by
then. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It'll either be light or windy, won't it? It won't be anything else.
Well, that's Marseille.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So
I'm going to put my money in the hat right now. It's going to be light and hot.
Okay. Hot. A bit like yourself, BP.
Yeah.
Right now. Those poses you're cracking in bed.
Yeah. No, it's going to be light and hot.
Cool. I love it. Cool.
How's my hair going?
Oh, it's just
No, you look good. You look good. Mate. Ready for church. Put it that way. Straight in.
Anything else, Mr. Boss?
Move on.
Oh, that's a negatore from my side, my friend.
Just the only other thing I thought I'd mention whilst we're on air is first event of the 69F Cup and has just been completes today, actually. So on Lake Garda. I still reckon that
we should have a bar karate team in that thing. I think that's what we need.
Can I just do the Italian for you?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah, I'll do the Italian and then I'll do it in Aussie. Fraglia Vella Malsiasine, right? Which is in Aussie is Fraggle Rock Mascarpone.
Fraggle Rock Mascarpone.
But anyway, I think Group Atlantic's leading the way on that one, then Fin 1 Racing.
You could probably make that even better. It's Fraggo Rocco.
Fraggo Rocco.
Down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock.
Cool. All right. So back next week for the second part of that. And then I've got an idea of a good one, boys, which I'll run by you once we stop recording. And anything else? We're all good?
Yep, all good.
All right.
Time to hit the road.
Time to hit the road.
BK1 is a go. BK1 is a go.
Everyone's going to start hating us up about that one. All right, thanks for joining us.
Do it.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's been a great week. Hope you're enjoying it. And remember, jump on to Radix Nutrition and performance through health. 10% discount if you use the Barcarati discount code. Go in peace. See you next week.
You on the bike today, BK?
No, I'm having a day off.